Morning. That's a little loud, but that's okay. I'm going to share a different angle on a very familiar topic. I'll just start off with one verse. You don't have to turn there. Revelation 19, verse 7. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to God, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." So what I wanted to talk about this morning was the focus where it says his bride has made herself ready. We're the bride of Christ. And I think if I asked you guys, what are some ways we can get ourselves ready? You know, what are some ideas we'd hear? Like, I'm sure we hear it quite often, which is really good. We hear a lot of the things we need to do. We need to obey God in all things, right? What else? We need to read the word. Right, we need to seek fellowship with Christians. There's lots of things that are really good that we need to do to help make ourselves ready. Today I'm going to talk about a slightly different angle on that. And what I wanted to focus on today about how we can get ourselves ready is fostering a daily personal relationship with Jesus. Focusing on Jesus and having a personal relationship with him daily. So not just about doing the outward things we talked about. You know, it's important to read our Bible. It's important to obey God. It's important to seek fellowship, go to church, you know, all these things. But, you know, I would think it's even more important to have a personal daily connection to the Lord. And I'm just going to share some verses about that. So let's start off in Galatians chapter 4. So we're going to look at what does it look like to have a daily personal relationship with Jesus? What are some benefits it has for our life? And then some dangers or watchouts we need to look out for. So Galatians 4, I'll just read verses 4 to 6, 4 to 7 actually. It says, "When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, so we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, calling Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, you are an heir through God." So if we think about this, like, God actually made the world and he created all of us, not just so that we could go to heaven someday and enjoy heaven. God actually wanted something much more. God wanted a relationship with us as sons and daughters. And he is our father. The word Abba, Father, means daddy. God greatly desires an intimate relationship with each one of us. He, of course, wants us to obey him, and he wants us to read his word, and he wants us to seek fellowship with other believers. Those things are very important, but above all, God desires this intimate, daily relationship with us as a father does his children. When Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," he wanted to spend time with the children, and he wants to spend time with us. And it's actually incredibly important for our life as well. And that's like, we're going to share some verses to talk about that. So what does it actually look like? Like, I think we could, you know, we need to pray. Praying to God is how we talk to God. We need to make requests to God. We need to pour out our heart before God. Like, if our mind is anxious, if we have anxious thoughts in our head, if we're concerned, we should go to God first and we should just pour out our concerns to God. You know, if we're excited, something's gone well in our life, we should go to God and we should praise him. Like, we should learn how to go to God first. But we have to remember, this intimate relationship with God is actually by faith. We can't see God. So it's actually by faith. When we come to God daily, we have to know he hears us, even though we can't see him. And we can't feel him often. Like, some people can talk about that, but oftentimes we can't even feel anything different. It's not a feeling. We know he's there by faith. And that's why we need to seek him daily. So let's look at a couple examples here. I'm going to start off in Luke chapter 10. So Luke chapter 10, I'm going to look at verse 38 and 39. So this is the story of Mary and Martha. It says, "As they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and there was a woman named Martha who welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word." So when I read that, and I'll pause there, I'm going to come back to Martha later, but Mary was simply listening to Jesus' word at his feet. She was spending time with the Lord. And that's, I think, is a really, really good example of what we need to do. We need to learn to spend time with the Lord daily, where we're seeking him, we're talking to him, we're pouring out our heart to him, we're telling him our concerns, and we're just spending that time with the Lord. Let's look at another example in Luke. If you just go back to chapter 6. So this is the Lord himself. The Lord himself was our great example. And let's look at what he actually did. So Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "It was at this time that Jesus went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." So we see the example of Jesus, who is our forerunner. He spent the whole night in prayer to God, and he did this multiple times. Like that was the pattern of his whole life. I can tell you this, I've never spent the whole night in prayer to God, but I think we need to make it a priority that we want to spend intimate time with God, and often. It's so important to us. Let's look at another example. If we go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And if we look at verse 30, it says, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourself to a secluded place and rest for a while.'" So we see here, Jesus is inviting his disciples to come away to a quiet place with him. He invited them to come with him to a quiet place and rest and spend time with him. And you know what, guys? That I read this and I said, you know what, Jesus, that invitation is to each one of us as well. Jesus is calling each one of us, and he's saying, "I want you to come with me to a secluded place and spend time with me." Jesus wants us to do that, and that's his call, not only to his disciples, that's his call to us as well. And of course, you know, the disciples were in the world, and there was all this stuff happening, and commotion and noise and all these different events, and Jesus was telling them, it's also important to have quiet time with me. And Jesus told them, come and do it, and he tells us the same thing. One more example, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. So we looked at Luke 6, Mark 6, and now Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. And here in Matthew 6, Jesus is giving instructions about praying, about prayer. So I'm going to read starting in verse 5. "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so they might be seen by men. I tell you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So here we see Jesus again, like he told his disciples, come to a secluded place and have time. The Lord wants us also to have this time with himself. We should also pray in open, we should pray in many places. When I'm at work, we should pray. You know, when you guys are at school or at work, we can pray to God all the time. But I think he's saying there's a special time, quiet time with the Lord, that's very, very important. And in verse 7, he says, "When you pray, you don't need to use meaningless repetition like the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So when we pray to God, we don't have to use, you know, special words or formulas. We should just pour out our heart to God. If we have concerns, if we have burdens, we just come to the Lord and tell him our concerns. If we're excited something's happened, well, we can tell the Lord, "Lord, thank you for letting this happen." We should talk to God just like, you know, you youth or kids would talk to your parents. We got to have a relationship with God like that. So the question is, I started with, the church has made herself ready. So I've talked a little bit about what does it look like to have this daily intimate relationship with God. The next thing I wanted to talk about is, how does this benefit us? Obviously, if we have prayer requests and we go to God and we pray, God answers prayer. So that's, of course, something that we know. Like Rebecca was sick, we prayed for her and she got better, right? But there's much, much bigger benefits to us in our own walk with God for spending close time with the Lord. So I've got three different things I'm going to look at, okay? The big benefits to our life, to spending time with the Lord. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where is it here? And it says here, verse 15. And to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And by the way, he was talking about the Israelites were under the law, and they were trying to fulfill all these outward laws, but they couldn't see Christ. The law was like their veil. They couldn't see Christ. So they were solely focused on outward activities. You know, let's do this, I better do that, but without God. But it says, when someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So this verse is remarkable because when we spend time in God's presence and when we're seeking God and we want to see God's glory, we say, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show me your goodness. Just like Moses did, just like David did. As we do that, what does it say? It says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. This is, to me, is critical. As we behold the Lord's glory in his presence, we'll become like him. Beholding equals becoming. That's what I see in this verse. So I think it's a significant importance to us to spend time with the Lord where we can have quiet time with God. We can say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your goodness, Lord. And as we do that, it says in this verse that the Lord is going to transform us into his image. That's a huge, huge importance. So that's the first thing. Second thing, Psalm 16. Let's go to Psalm 16. In life, we can seek pleasures and we can seek happiness through doing things. You know, some of us can seek for the next event, you know, the next activity, and we look forward to it, and then we go to it, we have fun, and then it's over. And it's like we can have this sometimes in our emotions or happiness, you know, up and down. But there's joy in the Lord, and it comes from being in his presence. And that joy doesn't go away. So Psalm 16, verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the only way we can have fullness of joy is to be in God's presence. So I think it's super important for us to practice being in God's presence. Practice it. Just like working out at the gym, you go there daily and you get stronger and you get better at lifting or whatever you want to do. Well, spending time in God's presence gets easier over time. It gets better. And we'll learn to turn to him more often. Again, not just at one time in the morning, but throughout our day, we should learn to turn to God. You know, we're at work, wherever we are, we can quickly go to God and say, Lord, help me with this. Or Lord, help me with this thing. And the Lord, it gets easier as we practice it. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Because if we think about it, if we're burdened with anything in our mind, we have worries, we have concerns, we have anxieties, we can just cast them on the Lord. We can say, Lord, can you deal with this? I can't deal with it. And as we lay our burdens on the Lord, he's going to give us peace and he's going to give us rest and we'll have that joy that doesn't come any other way. So that's another huge benefit to being able to spend time in God's presence. There's fullness of joy. The third one, if we go to Psalm 23, just a couple psalms ahead. And if you guys remember when the Lord said to the people, he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. There's rest promised to those people who come to Jesus. So if we look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. So the Lord wants to bring us to a place of rest. He wants to lead us beside those quiet waters. And if we're all stirred up in our mind and we have all these anxieties or worries or concerns, if we come to God and come to his presence, we can find that there's rest and there's peace for our souls. And the more we can learn to do that, the more we're going to have this rest and we can go beside the quiet waters and learn to have that every day. So that's another huge benefit to spending time in God's presence. So what I wanted to do now is just go back to Luke chapter 10. Just a couple things that we need to watch out for to be able to learn how to stay with God in his presence. So back to Luke chapter 10. We looked at Martha and Mary. We looked at Mary, but I'm going to continue now in that section, and we'll just look a little bit at Martha. So Luke chapter 10, verse 40. So verse 39 again. So Mary was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about many things. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, and which will not be taken away from her. So if we look at what Martha was doing, Martha was not doing anything sinful. She was actually doing good things. She was serving, you know, she was helping, she was trying to get food together for probably for the Lord. It was actually really good things. It was outward things, of course, but it was still good outward things. But the couple of key words I noticed was the first word it said was distracted. Martha was distracted. I think distractions in life is a big thing that can get in our way. We can get up in the morning and I might get up in the morning and have intentions to spend time with the Lord and read, and all of a sudden I can have all these thoughts that can come in about distractions, about this and that, or what do I have to do at work today, and all these things. Distractions is one thing we really need to guard against. And when the Lord said to Martha, he said, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. The word worried, I looked up the Greek word, and it actually means divided or pulled into many directions. So that's literally what was happening to Martha. She was being pulled in many directions. And when that can happen to us, it can be very hard to spend time with the Lord. And it's something we have to guard against. And we have to say, hey, I'm going to prioritize spending time with the Lord in my life. And if we think about it, if a plant does not stay connected to the vine, what happens to the plant? It dies. It withers up. It dies and there's no fruit. There's no growth. There's no joy, and life, I think, would become self-directed instead of God-directed. It says in, we don't have to turn there, but Jeremiah 2, verse 5, it says, they chased after emptiness and became empty. I think there can be a danger that if we're just chasing after or doing outward things, even if they're not bad things, but we're not putting the Lord first in our life and we're not spending that time with the Lord, it's possible that our life can become self-directed and not God-directed, and we can feel like we're withering up inside. So I think it's so important for us to really make it a priority to spend time with the Lord. And if we look at ourselves and we say, hey, I'm not quite there. I've been focusing more on outward things. Yes, I've been reading my Bible. Yes, I've been trying to obey. But I feel like my relationship with the Lord is not where it needs to be. Then I think here's the verse we need to hear, and it says this: draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That's the verse we need to hear. The Lord tells us if we draw near to Him, so we take that step to draw near to God, the Lord will draw near to us. And that starts that close relationship again that we need to seek. David was described as a man after God's own heart. And what I wanted to do finish off was just looking at a few things in the Psalms that David shared. Because David had sinned and he made mistakes, but he had a close relationship with God. And he was described, a man after God's own heart. So I think to finish, I have a few Psalms. I'm just going to read a few verses from a few Psalms. And I think we can look at these verses and we can actually say, what can we learn from them about our own relationship with God? So I'm just going to take us, finishing off here, a few Psalms, a few verses from a few Psalms. It'll be like a tour through a few of the Psalms from David. So let's start in Psalm number 3. So Psalm number 3. David here is telling the Lord about his troubles. And I'll just read in verse 1. He says, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. So here, this example we see, David was in a place where all his enemies were attacking him. They were attacking him, and they were just, causing him great concern. And what he did is he went to the Lord, and he just told the Lord about his problems. You can see in verse 1, he's just telling the Lord his problems. And then he reminds himself that the Lord is his own shield. And it says, I was crying out to the Lord with my voice. So this example I see is we can cry out to the Lord. If we have problems, big problems like David did, we can just bring it to the Lord and tell him. And the Lord you hear gave David peace. So let's just look at Psalm number 8 now, a couple of verses in Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verses 1 to 3. He says, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. So what I saw in these three verses is David here is describing the Lord's glory and what he saw. And he's seeing all the amazing creation the Lord made. And David is just, I think he's just in awe of what the Lord has done. And like I said, if you look at 2 Corinthians, if we behold the glory of the Lord, we'll be changed. And here, that's what I see happening to David. He's seeing the Lord's glory in his creation. And he's just telling the Lord how amazing it is. So let's look at Psalm 9, just verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 in Psalm 9, the Lord will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So this part, I remember the promise that was made where Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So David here is reminding the Lord of this promise. You, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. The Lord wants us to put our trust in him fully. Psalm, just a few more here. Let's look at Psalm 11. And verse 7. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. And when I read that last part there, I want to behold the Lord's face daily. I want to come to the Lord with a clear conscience so I can seek his face and behold his face. And if we've sinned, we simply repent of it, we turn and we can come to the Lord immediately. So the Lord wants us to be able to seek his face. And it says here, the upright will behold his face. There's something precious about that. Okay, let's look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16, just have a couple more. So we already looked at verse 11, but in Psalm 16, I wanted to hear, look at verses 8 and 9. David says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. So when we set the Lord continually before us, it's like we're saying, Lord, I want to walk in your presence daily. I want to walk in your presence, not even daily. I want to do it hour by hour. When we set the Lord before us like that, it says, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Remember how I said there's fullness of joy in his presence? Well, when we set the Lord continually before us and we aim to walk that way, we're going to have gladness in our day. Okay, a couple more. This is verse Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. When we seek the Lord's face, the Lord will give satisfaction in our life. Remember how it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, if we seek the Lord, we're going to find we're satisfied and we don't need anything else because the Lord is good. So that's another benefit to seeking him. Okay, last one, Psalm 27. This is what we'll finish here. Psalm 27. So verses 1 to 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom do I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, I will be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. I want to seek, exactly here what David is saying in verse 4, I want to seek to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And what's the purpose of that? He says here, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And remember we read again in 2 Corinthians, if we're beholding the glory of the Lord, we will be changed into his image. Well, David is asking for basically the same thing. I want to dwell in your house. I want to behold your beauty. And if we ask the Lord that, the Lord will transform us into his image. And finally, in the last part of Psalm 27, actually not the last part, but here's the last verse, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. The Lord is telling each one of us, seek my face. Our response to him needs to be, Lord, I'll seek your face. That's what I want to do this week. I want to seek the Lord diligently. I want to spend quiet time with the Lord. And as we do that, we're going to grow. We're going to have joy and we're going to have rest. So that was some things I was encouraged with this week.